Paul Lynch was the winner of last year's Kerry Group Irish Novel of the Year for his book set in and around the Irish famine. Grace, Beyond the Sea is his fourth novel, and the story follows two Mexican fishermen who are stranded at sea after a sudden storm in the Pacific Ocean. Paul Lynch is with me in the studio here this evening. I mentioned Grace there, which was novel number three, Paul.
Yeah.
In and around the Irish famine and an Irish setting, and true of both the previous novels as well. There were other parts to them as well. I know the very first novel started in Ireland.
It did, and moved it traveled to America, yeah.
But the Irish setting has always been kind of somewhere bubbling along in the background, and there's always been an historical aspect to the previous novels. But here we are, quite definitely, in a contemporary, I think it's safe to say contemporary because we've got GPS and all the rest happening here.
Yeah.
But we're in South America, and we're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. What brought you there?
Well, I had this feeling for some time that, in terms of my imagination, that it would be good for me to get outside of Ireland. And, you know, I think of a writer like Seamus Heaney, for example, who, you know, perhaps felt the same way that he needed to get off. He needed to get out of Derry. He needed to get out of Ireland. And he went into myth. He went into the Greeks. And there's a similar fashion, in a similar kind of fashion, I've gone that direction with this book. So, you know, the novel is set, it opens in a contemporary setting, at a place called The Strip, an unnamed town in South America. But as the story unfolds, it moves out into the mythic. And so the feeling of modernity falls away. And at one point, the character of Hector, his phone stops working. And really from that point on, we're moving into a kind of a feeling of time that's taking a break from things. And, you know, it's interesting. I had to do something with the language of this book that, you know, with the last three books, all three of them opened in Donegal. So that's going to lend the writing a certain character.
And you have a Donegal background yourself.
I do. I mean, I was born in Limerick, but I grew up in Donegal. And there's a certain kind of vernacular that's going to be there in the sentences. And I realised with this book that for something that's going to be very distilled and very stripped back, but also not set in Ireland, that I was going to have to kind of reef out the music, you know, the song. And so I spent some time with that.
Did you spend time choosing South America specifically, or were you actually just looking for, in fact, I'm saying South America, but the reality is here, the two men on the boat, Bolivar
and Hector,
they're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
You know, there are no landmarks. Well, there's nothing really to pin down where they are. And that's part of the plan,
I should probably explain where the idea of the seed came from. I was reading an article a number of years ago about a true life story in which two Mexican fishermen went out to sea before a storm and got into difficulty and their engine died. And they ended up drifting out into the Pacific at the mercy of the tide, the currents. And it became a quite famous story because one of them survived and he was at sea for a long time. And there was a lot of journalism written about it. Mm. But as I was reading this, I had this flash of a novel, but not about the specifics of survival itself, because that's fine, but that would be a little bit too close to journalism. Yeah. I could see what I might call perhaps a Paul Lynch novel. I could see something that was very, very different. And so I took the very basics of that tale, the essential things, and then I created my own.
You fictionalized it.
I just created my own characters, and I went to sea with them. Mm. And so there are certain things they do have to do that you have to do to survive. You know, you do try to catch turtles. You'll try to catch fish with your hands, or you'll try. You know, you might end up eating seabirds. That's
And you'll hope that it rains at some point.
You'll
along
be watching.
The way,
you'll be watching.
So that
the
you
clouds.
Gather water.
Yes.
Yeah. And that you don't fall into the trap of drinking the seawater.
And when I had that kind of vision of a novel, I was struck with the feeling of that there's a certain kind of classic short novel by writers like Conrad or Steinbeck or even Camus, in which a very simple tale can open out into something much more complex. Yeah.
And I'm wondering to what extent, obviously that South American story, that true story fed in, there's also that Donegal background. Your father worked in the Merchant Navy, I think up until more or less around the time of your birth.
So that's correct, yeah.
You don't
have
memories of that, but perhaps the stories were still told, were they? Are maybe better each time they were told.
Oh, they improve over a bottle of wine, even still. And, you know, like there's I would say I definitely grew up haunted by images of the sea. I mean, there are the stories that my father told, and just, you know, describing being on one of those massive freighters in a massive Pacific storm, and just the ship tipping, you know, back and forth at kind of extreme angles,
yeah, and not capsizing, but
just going just about.
Yeah.
You know, and he tells a story of, you know, being on a ship that had all the, you know, coming through a typhoon and perhaps wondering if this was it, and you know, and then the ship kind of limping back to port in Tokyo with all its pumps burnt out, and of course I also grew up in a fishing community
in Donegal,
yeah, and
one particular event I think there doesn't feed directly into the book, but it's certainly there in the background.
Yeah, that would be the Carrickatine, and
1995.
Yeah, I mean I went to school with one of the young men who died, and you know, it's an horrific thing, and what's made more horrific is that nobody knows, you know, just nobody knows what happened.
Yeah.
And so there is something for me that's very powerful to my subconscious, or is the idea that in this book, once the two men start to drift out to the ocean, that, you know, the hand of my father, or the, you know, the Coast Guard, that is not there to protect them.
And they are truly, Bolivar and Hector are adrift, and they are adrift. People may be looking for them, but, you know, and what happens to them, that's for the reader to find out, because it's not really about what happens to them anyway. I think there's a line that really struck me. I think it's Bolivar that says this, or it's not, it's Bolivar that's been described here. He thinks, what is life but waiting, and waiting, and two men on a boat? Okay,
yeah.
Vladimir and Estragon are not on a boat waiting for Gatto, but you have two men waiting. You're in a kind of a Beckettian world here, aren't you?
It's been said by many people that there's a flavour of Beckett here, and for sure there is. And you know, the book is also, I suppose, chasing after certain things that Beckett was going after too. The, you know, the sense of the inexpressible, the thing that sort of surrounds us that we can't quite grab hold of. And so the book is trying to evoke this feeling of you know, the unspeakable, and because the two men are adrift, surrounded by silence, and they are.
And they're
confronted,
chocolate cheese in some ways.
Yeah, they're an odd couple, and they're confronted by their deepest selves. They start to see into who they are, because there's nothing to distract them anymore. They huddle together in an ice cooler for sleep, and they begin to share the stories. And what starts to come out is, you know, the feeling of from each one that they are sinners, that they have sinned in some way or other, and they have different responses to this. And Bolivar is not religious, but Hector is, and so Hector kind of
all sorts of complex
moves into very complex, penitent mind state. But Bolivar is very, very different.
But it strikes me that there are other sentences I could quote. In fact, they lead on to what is life but waiting. But what if you hold what is given? So in other words, if you're in the moment, what if you're in the moment, really, is what we're talking about there. Or there's another point later in the book when Bolivar, which is a description of Bolivar, without thought, he sits. So that's mindfulness, really. You meditate, don't you, on a daily basis?
I've been meditating for a long time, and there's something about that that's helped me write this book. You know, I was talking about, you know, what Beckett was trying to grab hold of. Mm. And I think that was the full stop for that kind of writing. You know, Beckett took despair he took it into the cul-de-sac, and there it ended. No writer could really chase after that. But my feeling was that perhaps there was another way of coming at it. And so in this book, Bolivar begins to, the sea begins to whisper its secrets to him. He begins to hear into the silence and to reach a kind of profound awareness of who he is, because at the start of the book he is an unthinking, ironic, willfully ignorant man, but by the end of the book he has become, I think, a very thoughtful, perhaps he has achieved a state of grace.
I want to ask you something just about the publishing world as we're finishing up, because this is something at the time, I think it was on the first two books, was that you got the famous the five figure advance.
Yeah,
but you know, it's over 6 or 7 years, and when you divide, even if it's 200,000 by 6 or 7 years, you get down to, you know,
well, it's a
kind of a salary, but not really a salary.
Let's just say you learn to shop very carefully in Aldi and Lidl.
Yeah. And the other side of that is Grace, the previous book that I spoke about. Yes, it won the Kerry Group Irish Novel of the Year, but it's a huge success in France.
Yes.
So has the French market opened up to you in a way that you didn't expect?
My first novel, Red Sky and Morning, was very, very successful there. And from that point on, each novel has grown exponentially with French readers. And, you know, I can't explain why. I have theories, and other people have theories, and I'm asked about it all the time. Why is it that you're really big in France? And I don't know.
Do you speak French?
My French is quite poor. I'm not going to get into the reasons for that. But I'm trying. I do try. But of course, you don't need to speak French, because they have expert dual-time translation and, you know.
Yeah, everything is happening in the world. What happens next then? Because Beyond the Sea is out, and so far, you've getting reasonably good response?
In the main, pretty wonderful reviews. What I'm doing now is dealing with my small children and trying to do a bit of scribbling each morning, but I'm kind of just getting through the hard yards with small kids.
Does that fit into the writing, the small children?
I'm sure it does. I mean, Bolivar in this book has a daughter that he has abandoned.
I haven't abandoned
my child. So, but you know, everything leaks into the writing in some way or other.
Paul Lynch speaking to us about his latest novel, Beyond the Sea, which is published by One World.